Here tonight, we're grateful the Lord's give us this time together, and I appreciate traveling mercy and grace, the Lord's hand of protection on us tonight. Amen. Good to be saved, good to be among the living, numbered among the living, that is physically and more importantly spiritually. So I'm glad I'm numbered among those that are been made alive. Ephesians 2 and 1 said, "You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin, made alive." I'm glad He's made us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate the good songs tonight. The young folks are singing tonight. What a blessing that is tonight. And He's more than enough. It made me think of a preacher I know has got a book out by the... Of course, there's many books, but this one preacher has got out a book on the 23rd Psalm. And his title of it is, "The Lord is My Shepherd, and That's Enough," or "He's Enough." And reminded me of the little black girl that they asked her to memorize the 23rd Psalm. Not all of it. She was, I think, maybe in the primary classes, the early classes. She wasn't that old. And wanted to memorize the first verse. And so she came back to Sunday school and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want."
Amen.
And they told her she was wrong, but really she was right. She was wrong about the verse as far as quoting it, for it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But if the Lord is your shepherd, He's all you want, and He is enough, and He's more than enough." And so I'm grateful for that tonight. Look with us in Psalms, as a matter of fact, and we'll read the first chapter, Psalms chapter 1. Just the 6 verses, and many of you can probably quote it tonight, but let's look at it, read it together tonight, and then endeavor to preach from that passage tonight. And I do need your prayers, and I ask humbly for your prayers for the next few moments, that the Lord would help us. I appreciate you praying for us before we got here, and I ask you now to pray for us as we endeavor to preach and proclaim the truth of the Word of the Lord. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible reads like this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Father, thank you for the reading of the Scriptures. Thank you for the service thus far. Thank you, Lord, for the church you planted here, the good pastor, these that make up this local assembly. Thank you for those that are visiting. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to be here, and thank you for the Scripture that you preserved to this generation and the portion you've directed our heart to. Now give us heavenly wisdom and spiritual insight. Let us say everything you want said in the way you want it said tonight. Anoint us to preach, empower us to preach, permit us to preach, strengthen our body and voice, strengthen us in the inward man. Use us for your honor and your glory. May the Word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power of the demonstration of the Spirit of God. May then our hearts be prepared to receive what you say to us tonight. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. May the seed of the Word of God fall on good ground tonight and bring forth fruit unto perfection. May sinners be awakened. May sinners be convicted. May sinners be drawn to you by the preaching of the Word of the Lord tonight. And may saints be revived, refreshed, renewed, oh Lord, tonight. Help us, I pray. Do among us now what we cannot do for ourselves. May your name be glorified and magnified through this service. And what you do for us, we'll thank you and praise you. For I ask everything in Jesus' lovely name. Amen and amen. Thank you so kindly for standing while we read the Word of God and prayed together. Well, I don't want to preach out of this psalm if I can tonight. I actually just want to preach out of our list of verse and preach from that verse tonight. Verse 2. Verse 2 tonight. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that they meditate day and night. I simply want to preach tonight on the Christian's delight. The Christian's delight. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, but nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man, the Christian man, the man that God has forgiven, that one that is a follower of the Lord tonight, what is his delight? We know what he should not do. That's in verse number 1. He's blessed if he avoids these situations. If he avoids sitting, standing, and walking in this particular way. So what is his delight? Quite often, my friend, in Christendom, I think quite often we do express what we should not do, and that is right. Even in parenting, quite often we say what the child should not do. But can I say to you, with the do nots and the shall nots, there are some do's, amen? And there are some shall's, amen? There is always a negative and a positive when it comes to living the Christian life, when it comes to being saved, when it comes to be a follower of the Lord. As a matter of fact, you cannot get saved without the positive and the negative. There are those today that are only preaching the positive, except Christ. And my friend, I believe this verse, pray the sinner's prayer, make this decision. And I think, except the Lord, all positive, amen? But there is a negative. And the Bible said that, and I think, that being saved is through repentance and faith. Repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is the negative aspect of salvation. Repentance is dying out to your sins. Dying out to yourself. Repentance is turning from sin. Paul put it this way. To the church at Thessalonica. Turning from idols to serve the only true and living God. And so repentance is negative. Faith is positive. And so it takes both in order to be saved. And I feel that. Then I say it takes the positive and the negative to live the Christian life. To walk in the light of the Lord, to walk in the will of the Lord, to walk in the Word of the Lord, the ways of the Lord. There are things that we must shun. There are things we must avoid. There are things that we cannot do, thoughts we cannot entertain, things we should not look at, places we should not go, paths we should not walk. Amen? That's the negative. But then I'm glad that there are some delights. There are some things that are positive for us. Amen? May I say it this way tonight? Once we're saved, my friend, we should endeavor not to offend God. Amen. Now, that's what's wrong with us when we were sinners. That's why we've got to repent. God, we've offended God. We've offended the holiness of God. How have we offended it? We sinned in Adam. My friend, we're offensive to God by our very nature, by our very carnality. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what the Bible said. The Bible says we're carnal, sold under sin. And the carnal mind's not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. Amen? And so, when a sinner is convicted, they realize that though their life they're living is, my friend, not offensive to themselves, my friend, though they're pleasing the flesh, though they're fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, though they're walking according to the course of this world and the gospel light,
signs on them. They understand that who they are by nature and that what they are by practice is an offense towards the holiness of God. Amen. And so that's why we repent. I repent of what we've done and we repent of who we are. Amen. That is, we become godly sorry of the condition we're in and the things that we've done that are an offense towards God. And so now we're saved. Thank God, as we walk the Christian walk, it is our desire not to offend God. Amen. Not to displease the Lord. Anybody listen to me? No wonder the psalmist cried in Psalms 19 and 13, "Thank God, keep me from presumptuous sins." Amen. Those things that would offend you, those things, presumptuous sins, are those sins that didn't look too bad in our eyes, that didn't feel too bad to us, that look like they're no harm to us or anybody else, and really shouldn't offend God because they're so slight. Amen. They're so insignificant. They're not major. But the psalmist said, keep us from those presumptuous sins. Amen. Are you listening? In other words, in anything, I don't want to offend you. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. If it offends you, then Lord, I don't want to be involved in it. I don't want to be a party to it. And so that's the negative, a part of the Christian life. But we don't stop there. We don't live the Christian life trying just not to offend God. Oh, we do. But that's not all of it. You talk about a miserable existence. Just to live, not to offend in God. Then since He saved us, then we do what pleases God. Not just what not offends Him, but what pleases Him. It's our sin that offends. Amen. It's our attitude. It's our actions. Hey God, are you listening to me? It's our desire. It's our motive. Our sins are what offend. And so we want to blame all of Him. Hey God, under the wheel of God, under the care of God, and let His will become our will. Amen. Are you listening? But then, thank God, there is the positive part of the Christian life, and that's service. And then we do what pleases Him. We don't just do what doesn't please Him. Why not do what doesn't please Him? We don't just try to refrain from that offends Him. Hey God, where our joy is and where our delight is when we do what pleases Him. Amen. Oh my. Thank God. And so that's what the psalmist was saying here. Hey God, that man that's forgiven, that blessed man, that man that avoids sitting at the wrong place, walking in the wrong place, standing in the wrong place. Hey God, he is dead. But his delight is in the law of the Lord and in his law that he meditate day and night. Amen. Oh, my. So how about that lost you? Trying to make an introduction, that's what they call it. I know those schoolfellows preach, and I know that's what they call the introduction. And I hope I lost some introduction. Amen. Thank God. And what I want to preach on now is the Christian delight. What do we do with delight in? Thank God. Here's what we abhor, verse 1. But what causes us delight? What pleases God? What brings to us, thank God, joy? Thank God and blessing along this way. First of all, I want to say to you tonight, we delight in the Lord. Our beloved Christian's delight is in the Lord. And that first and foremost, God, ought to be every one of us' desire is that delight in the Lord. Can I read you some more out of Psalms? But it's a different Psalm. Psalm 37. David said, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." I have a hard time living by that Psalm. Does anybody else? Bless the Lord. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green earth. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and boy, thou shalt be fed. Here's the verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Amen. And the word there, thank God, means to be soft. It means to be pliable. Hallelujah. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be soft. Be pliable. Be like clay in the potter's hand. Amen. Are you listening to me? God, be in submission. Delight yourself in the Lord. Whatever pleases Him. Whatever direction He wants you to go. Whatever He wants you to serve. Thank God. Whatever He calls on you to do. Be pliable. Don't be stiff-necked. Don't be stubborn. Don't be self-willed. Anybody hear me tonight? Delight yourself also in the Lord. I want to tell you tonight how the Christian's delight is in the Lord. Amen. Can I give you three quick examples if I remember them? Hey, God, I've one that's been married, something more come to me. I delight myself. It was Esther. Hey, God, that went into King Ahasuerus and made her petition. She wasn't invited. She hadn't been invited for 30 days. And the Lord of Meeting Persons was, if she went in uninvited and he didn't hold out the golden scepter and welcome her in, then she died. Instantly. Amen. But he held out the golden scepter, did the king, her husband. Are you hearing me? Hey, God. And said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want to have a banquet. How with you? I haven't had any fellowship with you. I haven't had any talk with you. I haven't had any conversation or fellowship in the last 30 days. They had a banquet. She invited Haman. And they got to the end of the banquet. He said, "What do you want? What is your petition? What is your desire? I'll give it to you up the half of the kingdom." And she said, "I want to have another banquet tomorrow night." And I wonder what she was saying was, "I delight in you. I'm not just here to ask a favor. I'm not just here to make a petition. Hallelujah. If I was, that's what I'd done at the first banquet. Hallelujah. I wouldn't even have had a banquet. I'd just ask you when you held out the golden scepter. But I wanted to commune and fellowship with you. I delight being around you. Amen. And I've delighted so much and enjoyed so much being around you. Thank God. This first banquet, let's have another one. Anybody hearing me? Well, let's have another time. You reckon tonight, if the saints, if the saints, if the believer, if us tonight, I would show God, be soft, be pliable. Like it's a luxurious thing. That's what God's strong says. Act like it's a luxurious item, our specialty, to be in the presence of God. You reckon if we act tonight, we can hear more than even His ancient prayer. Hey, God, hey, His face, all in His favor. You reckon how God would bless us? You reckon how it would touch God? Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. Oh, most of us, I want to treat him like a spare tire. Most of us, hey, God, hear me. I want to run all our requests by Him. Give me this, give me that, bless me here, bless me there. Hey, God, hallelujah. I'm going to take time to delight our soul in the Lord. Hey, it was Mary and Martha, thank God, in their house with Lazarus, that when Jesus came to eat with them, thank God, Martha got in the kitchen, thank God, ran in pots and pans, thank God, trying to fix up to eat, Mary got at his feet, thank God, and just heard His word. What's the problem? She delighted in the Lord. Amen. Not that there's not a place and time to serve. Not that there's not a place and time, thank God, to get out the pots and pans. But Jesus said when Martha, I said, Lord, I tell my sister to dinner how to help me serve. He said, Martha, you're copper, a careful encumbered about much serving, but Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Are you hearing me? The light, I tell you, I God a legion, the man that was called legion because there was a legion of devils inside of him. When Jesus got him out, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed in his right mind. He's delighted in the Lord. How do you know he's delighted? He said, Lord, I want to go away. When Jesus got in ship, said, I want to go back to the side. He said, let me go away. I'm delighted. He said, go show your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you tonight, I want purpose of revival. I want purpose of coming to church. And so we kindle that flame. How we kindle that fire. How we kindle that marvelous and softness in the hands of God. A sea hardens us. The world hardens our life. Hey, God, but when we get around preaching and the work of the Holy Spirit, it again causes us to delight in Him. The Christian's delight is in the Lord. And again, if you've got Him, you don't need anything else.
Amen. Hallelujah. You see, the Christian, if they've got Him, it doesn't matter if they have any other thing. They can be satisfied. Hallelujah. We all can't. They don't know Him. Hallelujah. Bless His name. And I submit to you tonight that sometimes God allows the things that we have, even the blessings that He gives us, the material things of life, of God, let them slip through our fingers. Our God, take them away from us so we can quit delighting in them and delight in Him. Amen. Are you listening? Hallelujah. I believe that. I really think that's why Abraham, hallelujah, is on top of the wall with Isaac on the altar, because he's been delighting in the blessing instead of the blesser. And God said, quit delighting in the blessing. Hey, God, and the promise. Hey, God, and He that made the promise. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Woo! The light, I say, this is the Christian's delight, is in the Lord. Hey. And what happens if we delight in the Lord? Psalm 37:4, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, I think we're willing to give the desires of our heart without delighting. I believe the desires of your heart change when you delight in Him. Hallelujah. And you get to delight in Him, if you start up with the desires in your heart bringing to it, and then you get it in the right, and you've got the cart for the horse, and you turn around and get delighting in Him first, then you might just say, now Lord, what I ask you earlier, for I was delighting in you, I don't much care about that, no way, I'm just glad to be in your presence, I'm just glad to have your fellowship, I'm just glad to have your communion, I'm just glad to walk and talk with you, and so whatever you do, it's fine with me. Are you listening? Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, it's a mistake to preach to God the way the folks preach Him in this day. Thank God, and He does give blessings. He is a reward. I understand all that. But I'm telling you, He's not just wanting us to be familiar with His blessings and His benefits. Thank God, with His rewards and His riches. He wants us to delight in Him. Woo! He made man to fellowship with Him. He made man to commune with Him. He made man to talk with Him. And Adam broke that fellowship when he transgressed the law of God in the garden. Are you hearing me?
And Christ paid a great price. How to produce not the right relationship, not just the relationship, but the fellowship and communion delight in the Lord.
Amen. Bless His name. Alright, not only does He want us to delight in the Lord, that's the Christian delight is in the Lord, but His delight is in the law. That's what our text said. Amen. Bless His name. And I didn't jot down all the verses. That's probably too memorable tonight. But the Bible is full of verses that talk about delighting in the law of the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something. If you get to delighting in the Lord, then you can't help but delight in His law. Law, His statutes, His commandments. Amen. His testimonies, His word. However you want to say it, they're all saying in the same way. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Lord, what problems we are in, the messes we are in our churches tonight, trying to get folks to worship a God, worship the Lord. Amen. But they don't even delight in. I tell you what we're trying to do. We're trying to get a crowd that delights in everything else that the world has to offer, delights in their own self, the imaginations of their own mind. Hey, God. And we try to get them to come out from among that after 6 days of it and come in on Sunday and delight in the Lord for an hour or two. And that Father look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. Are y'all hearing me? That Father look at you like, wow. Are you excited? Why are you preaching? What's going on? Get this thing over with. Let us get back to what we're doing. But I tell you, it's a daily walk when we delight in Him. And then we're delighted when we get together with the saints that's been delighting in Him. And then we can talk together about our delighting in the Lord and what fellowship we've had and how wonderful it's been. And a walk and talk with it a day in and day out and through the week. And we just come together. I got and bring all that together and delight as a company of people, a group of people, and rejoice in what He's brought us from and what He's doing now and where He's taking us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us tonight. Amen. So we're trying to get people excited about worship that don't delight in the Lord. The people excited about the Bible that don't delight in His law. If you don't delight in the Lord, you can't delight in His law. The Bible means nothing to you. Hallelujah. Sinners, goats, don't want cheap food. Sinners don't want saint food. Anybody listening to me tonight? Amen. Peter said this, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that's law, that you may grow thereby. Something about when you get born again, you start looking in the book, it holds something for you. It's got a treasure there. Amen? You deem it more necessary, or you deem it more precious, ain't God the necessary food. Are you hearing me? Ain't God, you realize it's sweeter than honey in the comb. Anybody hearing me? Woo! Bless His name. Christians delights in what? In the law. Amen? Bless His name. But His delights in the law of the Lord. That word simply means that's your pleasure. That's your desire. That is, you count it a valuable thing. Amen? Oh, yeah. Bless His name. Oh, I'm telling you folks that don't care nothing about preaching, nothing about the Word of the Lord, study the Word of the Lord, read the Bible, never pick it up, never want to hear anybody, thank God, proclaim it, something another's wrong somewhere. If they have ever been saved, if they have ever been saved, I want to say it one more time, if they have ever been saved, they have quit delighting in the Lord. Amen. For if once you delight in Him, you'll delight in His law. Well, that's a letter from home. Free speech to us. Hallelujah.
Oh, bless His name tonight. I know we're led by the Holy Spirit of God, but the Christian life, the majority of it, thank God, it's not that a warm, fuzzy feeling, thank God, that make goosebumps run up down your arms or your back. It's God talking to you out of the Word of the Lord, and feeding your soul, and strengthening your eye, and giving you direction that you're to walk in. And you delight in it, hallelujah. Aren't you wrong now, hallelujah? It's your food. It's your strength. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path.
Oh, my. Bless the Lord. Amen. Psalm 31, verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Then we get that Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight.
What is the Christian delight? It's the Lord. To be proud, to be soft, amen. Woo! My God. And then our pleasure and our desire, and that we count most valuable, is being His law. And we delight in it. And the Bible said we meditate in it day and night.
That means you. But what that means is, you chew the cud. Anybody listen to me? You come to vote, Tom. Amen. I'm a city boy. Just was a country boy on the weekend. Wanted to go see Grandma and Grandpa. I was born raised in the city, but I was a country boy. Thank God on Friday night, Friday evening after school, Friday night and Saturday night, and I got up early Sunday morning and carried me home where I'd go to church. So I was a city boy. Thank God all week I went to school, and all weekend my grandparents. Thank God I was country. Amen. So I probably not as country as some of you, but I'm telling you how to meditate. It's more than just to read it. Or even to memorize it, though you must do that. Before you can meditate, you got to read it first. And it's good to memorize it, but it's more than memorizing or reading it. Hey, God, it's letting it live in you. It's letting it work in you. It's ingesting it and digesting it. It's applying it. Hallelujah. It's making your life conform unto what it says. Meditate in it day and night. That is your delight. Woo! Hallelujah. And it's the best word from Him and the only word from Him until we get home and He speaks to us face to face. It ain't everything there is to know about God. Amen. Because this book, this 66 book can't contain all there is about God. Hey, John said even what Jesus did for 3.5 years, a public ministry shouldn't be put down. Much less God, the Godhead itself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it's what He wants us to know. And there's more here you'll ever meditate on and be down in a lifetime. Hallelujah. Oh my. His delight. Didn't I know what I'm still preaching on? The Christian's delight. It's the Lord. It's the law. Amen. And last, and I'll be through tonight. It's our liberty. We delight in our liberty. Not just, now I'm not talking about American citizens tonight, though that is a blessing. And we ought to appreciate it and be thankful for it and praise God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm grateful for everyone that gave their life. I'm grateful for those that are fighting tonight. Are you listening to me? Amen. Bless His name. Hallelujah. But here's what Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said in Romans chapter 7. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall live me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Hallelujah. not excuse sin. I know some folks take that verse, and they do it around home. I don't know if they do here. Probably don't. North Georgia, I'm sure they don't. More sanctified here. Hallelujah, than they are in Alabama. But in Alabama, they don't take that verse and say, well, then whatever sin I do is just in the flesh. I'm just sinning all I want to because that's the flesh sin and it ain't me. That's the wrong attitude. That's big, strong, your attitude tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. What he was just saying was that I would do, I can't, I don't do, amen. That I would not, I wind up doing, amen. And he said, what's the problem? He said, it's because of the two laws that's in me. There's the law of God that's in the inward man. Then there's the law of sin that's in my members. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he said, how in the world can I ever have victory? How can I ever have peace? How can I ever have delight? Because he said, I delight, amen, in the law of God after the inward man. That word delight there means I rejoice in, or I feel satisfied. Or I feel satisfaction. I come to understand what I am by nature, or who God made me by grace. I understand there's an inward and an outward man. I come to understand, hallelujah. Hey God, I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to practice sin. I don't want to yield to sin, amen. I don't want to commit sin, hallelujah. But he said this time that I do it. Hey God, I fall momentarily into sin. So how did you lie? How can you ever live your life always a thinking about, Lord, forgive me for what I thought and done. He said, because I delight in that law that's in the inward man. That's a liberty that God has put inside of me. Woo! And so with my mind, with the inward man, with the new man that God's put in me, with that new creature, with that man, I'm created in righteousness and true holiness. I serve the law of God. And if I sin, I realize it's the law of sin in my flesh, in my members, hallelujah. So I can keep delight in the inward man because I've been set free. I've got liberty. I'm not bound to that. Are you hearing me? I'm not in bondage to it. I don't live under the dominion of a domain of that sin. I'm free. I'm liberated in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then Romans 8 summed it up like this. Well, he said, now there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after we don't walk after the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. We sometimes get momentarily let us stray by the flesh, but we don't walk in the flesh. We don't live under that dominion anymore. We don't live as servants of sin anymore. Woo! Hallelujah. But he said, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I am in the liberty that I have. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh my. And I have a delight in that liberty. And when I think the wrong thought or feel the wrong feeling or commit to something that I know I shouldn't have committed, that is a sin, that is an offense, a transgression, that is against God. Hallelujah. I don't then stand in fear and shake and think, oh my, he's going to kick me out. Oh my, I'm lost again. I got to get saved out. Hallelujah. No, I delight in the liberty. Oh, this is sin. That's not an occasion for the flesh. That doesn't mean that at all. Oh, bless his name. And it also means that though I grieve the Holy Ghost and have quenched the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship is broken, when I repent, when I confess it, when I come clean, not
Thank God that I have that attitude. Well, I'll just confess it to him and go do it again. But I'm genuinely sorry. I don't want it to ever happen again. I have limit. Oh, bless you, say. Thank God. I guarantee you that you sin not. Thank God. And if any man sin not, but. And if not, but means you will. And how if any man sin, we have an advocate of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And when we're not to live out the rest of our days, the rest of our years, they can hardly grieve God 50 years back. But thank God, when you come to your heavenly advocate, there is a liberty of it. When you confess, He is faithful and just how to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Woo! And you pick up and go again.
Hallelujah. I probably said it here before, but let me say it like the old preacher did. And I don't mean that disrespectful by saying old preacher. How many days that dear man of God, there's something he said didn't run across my mind. He married my wife and I. He performed a ceremony. He lived to be 94. He pastored the same church 52 years. Amen. Are you hearing me? And he said, here's what I tell my folks. That meant church where he's pastoring. Here's what I tell them. He said, if you stumble, get up. Go at it again. If you stumble again, get up. And go again. If you stumble, get up. And go again. And one day you'll stumble across the finish line. And when you get across there, you won't stumble no more. And that's it! Woo! He made it so we don't have to live there in defeat. Hallelujah. In our sin. Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Oh. But I delight in the liberty that we have and the fact that in the inward man I serve the Lord God and the law of the Spirit of life and Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. I have freedom. Woo! Not only is there no condemnation, they shall not come into condemnation, but have passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. My position never changed. It's my practice. I have to get lined up. Woo! And when I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill and the lust of the flesh. Oh, y'all hear me? Oh. As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank God for the Christian delight. Amen. I'd like to be a delightful Christian, would you? And God's made it possible that I can be. Amen. I'll say this, I'm through. I think Naomi goes to Moab. She follows her husband Elimelech. They drag them two sons down there. Them two sons marry two Moabitish women. Elimelech dies. Mahlon and Chilion die. Naomi, after they're dead, been down there 10 years, here's his bread back at Bethlehem, Judah, rises and goes back, and Orpah and Ruth wanted to go with her, her daughter-in-laws, her two daughter-in-laws. There's something about that woman that made them want to go back to Bethlehem, Judah with her. In spite of her husband's death and burying two sons, there was enough delight in that woman's life. There was enough pleasantness in that woman's life that made them want to go back with her. Of course, she told them. She said, now, I don't have no sons for you. And you won't be no husbands. And you wouldn't wait till if I could get married today and one get grown, you wouldn't wait that long. That's a long time. And just go back to your people. And Oprah said, that's all right. But Ruth said, no. I'm not going to leave you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. Where you die, I'll die, and I'll be buried where you're buried. Hallelujah. And when they come back to Bethlehem, Judah, They said, "Is this Naomi?" That is the people that lived there. Because she'd been gone 10 years. "Is this Naomi?" They said, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." That is bitter. She said, "The Lord sent me out full, brought my heart empty. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. I'm a bitter person." But not one time in that whole book of Ruth did she ever called Mara. Everybody calls her Naomi. And I'll tell you why. Because she's not a Mara. She may have felt the bitterness of God because of the death of her husband and her two sons. But she didn't act bitter. She was pleasant. She was so pleasant when two girls wanted to go with her. And she was so pleasant that everybody around her said, "This is Naomi." That's what the word Naomi means, pleasant one. She stayed pleasant in unpleasant circumstances. And we can stay delightful in undelightful circumstances if our delight is in the Lord, and our delight is in His law, and our delight is in His liberty.